Tradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and you're listening to Tradio. Today, I'm visiting Father Lam Vu. Many people around Australia would know Father Lam because he moves around. He's originally from Brisbane. He's a Capuchin Franciscan. He's been in Sydney at the University of Notre Dame chaplaincy, but he was also at Macquarie and University of New South Wales before as well, and also at Australian Catholic University in Melbourne, and now he's about to head back to Brisbane. Father Lam, thank you for making the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Sarah. It's an honour and it's a privilege to have this interview with you. Thank you for inviting me.
First of all, Father, could you tell us a bit about your background? I know you were born in South Vietnam.
I was born during the Vietnam War, at the end of the Vietnam War. So I was one of nine children, and it was probably one of the hardest time. People think after the war, it's all peace and quiet, but in Vietnam it wasn't like that, because it was Vietnam was a communist country. So even when I was young, I saw a lot of things. It was so difficult for us that somebody, my parents decided that we had to get out of Vietnam. So my grandfather told my parents, my dad, that you have to take the children out of Vietnam, or else, especially us boys, there's six boys in the family and three girls in the family, there's nine of us. So my grandfather said, unless you take the boys out, or else they would turn them all into soldiers and communists. And so dad decided to take us out. So he out of Vietnam, to escape from Vietnam. So he was a fisherman. And so we left Vietnam when I was eight, on my father's boat, and we were in on a boat for about a couple of weeks, and then we got rescued by this big Australian cargo ship that it took us to Singapore. We stayed there, and then they accept us in Australia. They flew us over to Brisbane, and so I grew up in Brisbane from there.
Was faith always an important part of your life?
Yeah, definitely. My family are quite religious, especially my parents. Even in Vietnam, mass every day, family rosary every day. They even went to mass in Vietnam early in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock. But at night, we always get together and say the rosary together. So it's quite a very, very much faith-orientated family. Dad's very devoted. He's just an amazing man. And when we came to Australia, that continued. My family still go to mass and pray the rosary every day. But as a young boy, I never really understood that. I remember every time we come to say the rosary, the family together, I always pretend I'm too sleepy, so I'll get out of it. I'll get out of saying the rosary or not going to mass as a young boy. And occasionally I get let off, but most of the time we do say the rosary together. So I get a lot of my influence from my parents. They're just great models for me.
But you didn't go straight to the Franciscans. Many people might know that you have an architecture degree. You went to University of Queensland and you were working as an architect for a while. Tell me about that time in your life.
Yeah, so when I was in high school, grade 8, I never thought of becoming a priest. Never. I remember my uncle came to Australia. He's a priest over there in America. And he came over and he said to me, why don't you become a priest? And I said, no way, I won't be a priest. I'm just too sinful. I'm not made for priesthood. And so when I was in year 8, I always wanted to be an architect. And so I studied hard for it, mainly because I was good at drawing and maths. So I got into uni. I went to University of Queensland, and I did architecture for about 6 years altogether, 5 years of study and 1 year of work experience. And that went on for a bit. It was really a tough time, but I really enjoyed architecture. So, and then after that, I worked for about 3 years as an architect, and then I left everything and then joined the Capuchin Franciscan after that. Yeah.
So how did that happen? How did you discover God's calling?
I say the turning point for me was when I went back to Vietnam with my sister. That was in 1995, straight after I graduated, and you know, just received the degree and was so happy, so enthusiastic to practice as an architect. And my sister had just got married, and she was going to go to Vietnam, back to Vietnam to for her honeymoon. And I had just finished uni, and she said to me, "Do you want to go back to Vietnam with us? You know, just to visit, just to." She basically wanted me to come and just accompany her. I don't know what sort of, you know, idea was that. But I went with her, and I said, you know, I have no money at that time because I was a student. So she said she'd pay for me. So I went back to Vietnam with her, was all excited. Now this is like being, you know, I left Vietnam when I was 8. So I haven't been back since then. And the Vietnam that I used to remember all was, you know, was all war and violent, you know, with soldiers. And so I was quite, didn't know what to take from this. And so we arrived at the airport, and all of a sudden, like, I see the soldiers everywhere, the communist soldiers everywhere. And I was quite scared. I was very, very afraid. Probably one of the most frightening moments in my life. And so and then, you know, wandering around the city of Saigon, that's where we stay. I saw a lot of poor people, a lot of you know, people on the street, beggars, you know, people without hands and legs, and they went around and they begging for money and things like that. We even went to the leper colony and we gave out money and food to people. And so that was the experience that I had. I remember when I went up to this place, which is not so far from where I was born, you know, I remember walking down from the hill, and I saw, you know, people, the beggars, like on the side of the road, begging for people. And then I started to give somebody money, and then the next guy came, and the next guy came, and they all yelled out, you know, "He's giving out money, he's giving out money." So they all came to me, and I felt so privileged to do something like that. But then I had a thought after that. I thought, you know, these are actually my people. You know, these are my people. And you know, I started to question my own life, and I asked all these philosophical questions about my life and where am I going, what am I doing with my life. And, you know, I said, you know, what I asked God, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, I want to do something. You know, I just had that something sense of like missing or in me that I wanted to do. And so I was very restless. I was very, very shocked all the time. So I was supposed to go, you know, to Vietnam for 4 weeks. But after 2 weeks, I said to my sister, I want to go home. I was so shocked. And so I went to the agent, travel agent, and they said to me the next flight back is next week. So the third week of Vietnam, I got on the plane and I flew straight back to Brisbane. So my sister, she continued with her honeymoon. And so that's when I sort of discovered that I wanted to do more than just being an architect. And so I was quite restless after that, and I started to go to mass more, you know, at my own, you know, will, not by any force by my parents, I started to pray more, not by force. So I pray and go to Mass every day, and then things started to come there. I got a job down at the Gold Coast as an architect. It was my first job, so I moved out at home, and I was down in Coolangatta. I was living down there for about a year, and I remember going to work and then going to Mass if I can around the local church there. And at night, coming back from work, I would like jog down to the beach and just sitting there, just meditating on the beach and praying and asking God, what is it that you want me to do? You know, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. So constantly asking. But I also had that desire to help, that I need to do something for Vietnam. So I got involved with our church back in Brisbane, and then I started a youth group that did a lot of social work to raise money to help the poor people back in Vietnam, especially the lepers. So just from there, it builds up, and I just developed a really close relationship with God, and keep asking, what you want me to do with my life. So that's how it began.
So at the start, you said that when people would bring up the idea of you being called to the priesthood or religious life, that you would think, no, I'm not worthy enough, or I'm not made for that. How did you come to understand that later on?
I've always wanted to become an architect. My idea was to become a good and famous architect. I really wanted to do that. It all came around, all changed when I went back to Vietnam, but still, so after that, I started to, because of my prayer life, I just pray more, went to Mass more, and keep praying, and then I keep asking. And I remember the turning point for me, really hits in for me, was when my brother, he just one day out of the blue, I didn't know he was discerning. He didn't know that I was discerning. It was on a Sunday after Mass, and we had lunch together. And so he said he wanted to announce something to the family. And he said to us that he wants to become a priest. And he's got accepted into the Divine Word Missionary, and that he's leaving in about 1 month. So I was completely shocked. The whole family was in shock, and so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to talk to him, and so I started to ask, what is it? What is it about the priesthood? What is it about religious life that so many people they're willing to give up everything to follow Christ? What is it about this? And so, I started to read more. So I went to a bookshop up in Brisbane, and I went in there, and I went to the bookshop, and the first book that I saw on the bookshelf was St. Martin de Porres. No, before that, I'd hardly read any, saint books or even, Christian, just mainly Bible, going to Mass and things like that, and that's it. So Martin de Porres is patron saint of our family. We pray to him every day. So I read his life, and I was inspired by his life. How he, in his own life, he's came from a really poor family, and he saw God as his father. Then after that, I wanted more. So I read Thérèse of Lisieux, and I can remember reading her life story. It's basically matched with what I was doing at the same time. At one stage, I was reading her book in the train, and she was on the train going to Rome to ask for the permission of the Pope, so she can enter into the order. It was the same time, and then it was another time, the day was cloudy and it was raining, and it was raining in Brisbane at the same time, and I thought, it seems as if Thérèse was like communicating to me, God is communicating to me through Thérèse. And so everything seems to be to make sense. And then I started to read Thomas Merton, because it was recommended to me by some priest, and I got inspired by Thomas Merton. And you know, I said, if I have a vocation, I want to become a monk. But prior, I have to go back to this, prior to this, the reason why I chose the Franciscan is that when I was in high school, this is the first sort of like seed, Franciscan seed for me, was when I was in high school, I went to Mass, my family, and I was sitting at the back. The parish priest preached about St. Francis, and it was the feast day of St. Francis. And, you know, he told us the story and everything, and out of the whole story, one part where I remember the life of St. Francis was when God asked him, Francis, who do you want to serve? You know, do you want to serve the master or the servant? You know, that one saying stayed with me for a while, and I keep, you know, repeating or keep thinking that, who am I serving in my life? Who do I want to serve? Do I want to serve the master or the servant? But I was so inspired by the story that I said to myself, I said, if I have a vocation, I will join that order. You know? Didn't know that there's like three types of Franciscans, you know, around. That was the first time. The second seed was when, Franciscan seed, I call it, is when I was in year 12, and I drove my parents to Mass on Sunday. And usually I sit in the car, wait until maybe 2 minutes to Mass time, and then I come in. So, but I would usually sit in there listening to music or something. So one day I was sitting in the car waiting. My parents had already gone into the church to say the rosary with the rest of the community. And I saw for the first time a Capuchin Franciscan. He was a novice at that time. And he went to Mass at our community, the Vietnamese community. And I just, you know, just still remember the life of St. Francis. It was still in my head. And I saw a Franciscan for the first time. He had a habit on with sandals and rosary. And I thought, wow, this must be from the same group as St. Francis. So I said, if I have a vocation, then I will join that group again. So that was the second time. And so that stayed with me. And so after reading all of these books, you know, I wanted to serve God at that time, and my prayer life, you know, keep saying that if I have a vocation, I definitely, you know, will leave everything to join. So I remember I was going to Mass. At this time I was in Brisbane already. I moved back to Brisbane, staying with my parents. So I even bought a house and my parents living with me. I was working in the city, and every day I would go to Mass at the cathedral, at St. Stephen Cathedral, early in the morning, or if not, then during lunchtime. I remember when it was a lunchtime Mass, and I was kneeling at the back and at St. Stephen, and, you know, I asked God, what do you want me to do? You know, what is it that you want me to do? This is at Mass. I look up at the cross, and I saw Jesus, statue, the cross, Jesus on the cross. And I felt as if, you know, Jesus is telling me, I felt this, you know, he's telling me that because of you, you know, because of you that I'm on this cross, you know, because of you that I love you so much, I'm willing to die for you. And I felt this great sense of love and peace within me, as if God, Jesus, pouring out his love and peace onto me. And then I started to cry. I thought, I do not deserve this. I do not deserve this love and peace from you. And then after that, you know, I felt great. I felt like this love and peace. I want this to stay. So I keep looking for more, you know, I want this to last forever. And so every time I come to Mass, every time after that, you know, I still experience that presence of God. Jesus is close to me. So I kept this quietly for with myself for a while, for a long time. Nobody knew that I was discerning. So at this stage, my brother, you know, he had just joined DSVDs. I know I have to do something about this. And so I spoke to him, and he was surprised. He was surprised that I was discerning. And he said to me, well, why don't you go and try out some order that you like, or religious order? And I knew at the right beginning, I don't want to be a Dyson priest. I want to be a religious. And I got inspired by Thomas Merton. He was a Cistercian Trappist monk. And I said to him, I want to be a monk. I want to be a monk. I want to be a Cistercian monk. And he was living down in Sydney at that time. He was a novice down at Epping. And he said, well, there's no Cistercian here down in Sydney, but they do have the Benedictines in Sydney, not so far from where I live. Just come down, maybe come down and try them out. Live with them and see how you feel, how you go with them. They're not Cistercian, but they are very close to the Cistercian, the Benedictines. So I came down, took some time off, and I booked to stay with them for about 3 weeks. Three days, and I got to Acadia and I stayed with them. It was only 3 days. I remember only 3 days, but I felt as if it was like 1 month. It was so long. I felt it so long because they take the vow of silence and things like that. So I felt, this is not me. If you know me, I talk too much. But I spent a lot of time reflecting. I spent a lot of time reflecting about my life and my character, my personality. I found out that I'm not, enclosed life is not for me. And that, you know, there must be something with the Franciscan. There's some seed, sorry, because of what I experienced when I was in high school, when I heard the priest spoke about St. Francis and how I saw the Capuchin novice. That then after that, I went back to my brother's place and I spoke to his novice master, and his novice master said, why don't you try out the Franciscan? They're up in Brisbane. So I went back to Brisbane and I called the old firm up, the Franciscan. And they were at Kettering. So I called them up and I went to their place, and you know, they gave me a lot of articles, a lot of things, and they spoke to me about their way of life. They go, and then I said, I'll think about it. I went back and I said, this is not right. This is not the one that I was looking for. So I called them back and I said, is there another Franciscan group somewhere around? And then they said, yeah, there's another group out at Wyndham. There are the Capuchins. So I looked them up, and then I call the house up, and when an old priest, he picked up the phone, Father Andrew, and I said to him, I would like to discern or find out more about Capuchins. How do I go about it? And he got so excited. He said, oh yeah, our vocation director is here at the moment. You should come up and meet him. So I arranged to meet him. So when I went to Wyndham to meet the vocation director, and as soon as I arrived at the house, at the foray, I saw the house. I felt as if this is it. This is my home. This is where I'm meant to be. That sense of belonging, sense of peace. So I met the friars, and then I spoke to the vocation director. In my heart, I said, I've already made up my mind. It was the first meeting, but I didn't tell him. And then after I had a meeting with him, the old friar who picked up the phone, I eventually got to meet him, and I told him, Father Andrew, I said, Father, I want to join. I think I have a vocation to join here. And he was so happy that he gave me a big hug. He nearly squeezed me. And then from then, I just keep in contact with the Capuchins, discern with them for about a year. And then I joined the Capuchins on Valentine's Day in 1999. So it was my first date with the Lord, and I'm still with the Capuchin since then.
Father, you said that when you got to the house, you felt you were confident that's where you belonged. That's not the first time that I've heard someone talk about it that way when they say when they find the community that they're supposed to be with. But you talk to a lot of young people who are discerning their vocation. Is that always the case? Are they always...
Usually is the case. Not for everybody. Some people find it later. You know, being an architect, it comes easy for me. You know, because I'm more about space and buildings, and you know, if I see it, and also I was looking for, I like the charism of the Franciscan, the Capuchins, the idea of poverty and simplicity, and I saw something at that Ferrari, that the house was so simple, it was simple, building was simple, and I thought, this is it. The other group, when, you know, went to Benedictines and the old fam, you know, it wasn't there for me. You know, it wasn't there for me. I didn't feel that. But also the friars, the presence of the friars, it just made me feel as if this is where I belong. Other people find it differently. They sometimes find it after when they join. They find that this is their house. So it's not for everybody. But generally, a lot of people do feel that the sense of belonging straight at first. You know, after a few meetings, sometimes people find that, you know, I can really find myself here. There's that sense of belonging and sense of peace. Generally, people do.
I know many young people today like to sort of discern by stealth, or they might just subtly ask questions or go look on the internet, but they won't actually take that next step of trying out a community, or they feel like, I don't know, if they're waiting for an apparition or an anvil to land on their head or something like that. But what's generally the advice that you give to people at that stage of their discernment?
It's, you know, you can look forever, okay? You can look forever. A vocation, you got to go and test it out. Anything, you got to go and you got to call them up. You got to make that next move. It's okay sitting at home, looking on the internet, reading everything. But it's nothing like going to the community and actually stay with them, live with them, test them out. It's the best way to get to know a community, whether they're suitable to you or not. You know, you can learn so much by, you know, with me going there, going up to the Capuchins every week. I went up there nearly every week, you know, to visit the friars. And what brought it to concrete was, I used to visit them on the weekends, especially on a Saturday because of work, you know, on the weekdays I couldn't come. So on Saturday, every time I go up there, one of the priests up there, he did catechism with me, Father Robert. And so I would stay for lunch, but arriving there, I would see friars working, priest, Father Carmel, he was about maybe 70-something or 80-something, an elderly priest, and he, every Saturday, I remember every Saturday when I went to visit the friars, he would vacuum the carpet, you know, every Saturday. That was his job, to vacuum the carpet. And I've never seen a priest doing work like that. Because the friars, we clean everything by ourselves. And then after lunch, you know, they all went into the kitchen and they all washed the dishes. And I've never seen something like that. You know, they're all, you know, standing around the kitchen, washing and wiping and talking. There's a sense of community that I saw. You don't get that on the internet or when you read somebody's brochure. You know, it's when you actually live with them and see all the details, all the things that they do. Then you ask yourself, you know, this is where I'm meant to be. So it's really encourage people not just to look through the internet, but to actually make the next step by living with the community that you think you're called to. So that's actually the best way.
So you entered with the Capuchins, you said, in 1999, so that makes it about 15 years?
Yeah, more than 15 years now I've been with the Capuchins, so first day and still here.
So what has been the highlight of this journey for you?
I would say ordination for me. all nations, you know, the formation time was, you know, this time of becoming, during that formation time, I've really changed from the first time I joined until now. But all nations just basically complete everything for me, like change completely. I was talking to somebody today that I said to her that when I was in primary school, I used to be a really shy boy, and you know, you won't get me up to the stage or to say anything. I would be so nervous and shy that I get, you know, scared that now, you know, it's completely different. And you know, I'm able to say mass, and I'm able to preach, you know, give a talk without being nervous or shy. And I'd say it's a gift that I get with the sacrament of ordination. The Holy Spirit is working through me. This, you know, you give, but then you get something different. It comes with the gift of the sacrament. So, and I've really enjoyed being a priest. I've been a priest since April 2008, so 6 years now. So I've enjoyed every moment of it, working with the young people. I've been a chaplain to university since ordination. So it's really been a privilege to work with the young people. You know, chaplain, like what you said before, Macquarie and University of New South Wales in 2008 and 2009. 2010-11, I was a chaplain at ACU down in Melbourne. And then since September 2011, I've been at Notre Dame ever since. So I've been working with the young people since ordination, and I've really, really loved it. Just a privilege.
And now you'll start a new journey as a parish priest in your old city.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited to go back to Brisbane. I'm going to be the parish priest for St. Mary's in South Brisbane. Also administrator of Dutton Park and West End. Three parishes together, but four churches. Isn't it? There's a church at Fairfield that the Archbishop asked us to look after as well. So four churches. Very excited about that. One is because I grew up in Brisbane, so I know the area. I know my family are very, very happy that I'm back there. So this is the first time I actually serve in the diocese where I grew up. So it's an opportunity for me to give back to the diocese that I've received from. So very, very excited about that. And also it's a new challenge because I've never done parish work before. I've always, you know, working in university. So it'll be a new learning curve for me. It'll be a challenge. I have a good community up there, good group of friars up there who help me through this. Very excited about this new challenge.
Sydney will miss you, but we'll be praying for you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was Father Lam sharing about his journey to the priesthood. For more information about the Capuchin Friars, visit capuchinfriars.org.au. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.
Radio.org.au.